All right. Well, tonight I'm going to preach on a scripture that I preach quite frequently from, probably two or three times a year. I preach from the scripture. I live the scripture probably every day of the year. But you know, my grandfather used to talk about it's important. You know, scriptures that are important, it's important to preach on them over and over again. In fact, the Bible says that faith cometh by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so I'm going to preach tonight from James chapter 1, verse number 2. And actually, I just preached it not too long ago. In fact, they're actually coming up with a CD coming up at Winter Bible Seminar on this scripture. But James chapter 1, verse number 2 from the New King James Version says this: "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." Now, my grandfather always pointed out that you have to count it as joy. It's not going to be joyful. See, a lot of times people think, well, you know, once you become a Christian, first of all, you won't have any trials because you're a Christian. But that's not the truth. And we all know, you know, you've heard me preach over and over again, John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Just because you became a Christian doesn't mean the thief quit trying to steal from you. All right? The thief is always there. And really, you know, it doesn't matter who you are, the thief is going to be there to try to steal from you. But you have to count it all joy when things go wrong. Now, you know, it's 2019, and maybe you've had a pretty good year so far, but at some point in time, something's going to go wrong. You're going to have a disappointment in your life. And you have to realize that when disappointment comes, you have to count it as all joy. Now, reading from the New Living Translation, it says it this way. It says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy." Now, I kind of like that. It's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to have joy, or opportunity to give and throw in the towel and to quit and everything else. You know, you have a great opportunity. Now, what you really need to realize is that when all of us go through trials and things in life, that the first thing that normally happens is human emotions come in. You know, and when human emotions come in, sometimes we get mad, we get upset, we cry, we get worried, and things like that. But what James is trying to tell us is that after that human emotion sets in, all of a sudden we need to remember what the Word of God says. And we need to remember who we can trust in. And we need to remember what the Bible says. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. You know, the Bible also says that when we're weak, he's strong. And the greater one lives on the inside of us. It says, "Greater is he that's inside of me than he that's in the world." And then when things go wrong, and when things seem that, you know, it doesn't seem that to work out, sometimes we don't realize, we don't know why it's not working out. It's just not working out. And you know, we had all these great plans of how all this was going to fall into place, and all of a sudden, nothing worked out. You know, and we have an opportunity at that point in time to just to give up and to move on, just to kind of, you know, let the devil win, or we have an opportunity to let God win. We have an opportunity to let the joy on the inside come out. Now, you know, it's not easy to have joy in the middle of a trial. You know, it's not natural. It's not natural emotion. But remember, you know, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. Remember that? I mean, many of you probably sang that song. You know, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. No matter what happens in life, do you realize that the devil cannot steal your joy? Now, it's interesting. One of the scriptures we have from the Apostle Paul says, "I have finished my course with joy." Now, you can't finish with joy if you don't have joy all the way through. Now, it's important for us to have joy, and it's a whole lot better to have joy than it is to have sadness. You know, but when sadness comes, we have to realize that the greater one's still on the inside. That's when we have to stir up the gift that's on the inside of us. Now, remember back in children's church, for some of you that went to children's church at a young age, we would sing a song, "If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands," and then we all clap our hands. Hey, man, there's a lot of echo. Anyway, happy you know it, clap your hands, and you're happy you know it, stomp your feet. Do you realize that most of you clapped your hands whether you were happy or not? Or you stomped your feet whether you're happy or not? You did it because it was a song, right? You know, and but eventually, if you're there in your children's church class and you watch these kids, eventually, you know, they start smiling and being happy, even though some of these kids weren't that happy when they started clapping their hands, but they got happy. So, you know, what we have to do is when trouble comes our way, get happy. Well, how do you get happy? I don't know. What, you know, the way you can get happy is to realize that the greater one's on the inside of us. That you realize that Jesus has already won for us. We don't have to sit around and wait for Jesus to win. He's already won. You know, I was thinking today about my little granddaughter, Lakin. I mean, she's so awesome. But you know, she's always happy all the time. She's always singing. She's always, you know, she's always happy. And the reason she's happy is because she doesn't really have anything to worry about. She knows that no matter what, that we'll take care of her. You know, but it's interesting, as we grow up, we forget that no matter what, God will take care of us. No matter what, God will take care of us. If we put our trust in Him, if we learn to trust Him, He will take care of us. You know, and a lot of times that we, you know, we forget about how good God is. We forget about that God still has the whole world in His hands. We forget about that God is still in control, because we're so busy looking at all the problems, looking at all the situations. And you know, it is interesting, because the generation that we live in and the day and age that we live in, you know, everything always points to problems. I mean, if you watch the news, it's all about problems. And now online, it's all about problems, all about issues, all about you know, what's going on that's bad. You know what? But there is a lot of good things going on in the world. You know, but, you know, and actually, if you talk to a newscaster, talk to the people, and you say, you know, do you realize that negative stories actually tend to get more attention than positive stories, for whatever reason? You know, but the thing about it is, so many times that we look at the negative side and forget about the positive side. The positive side is why we have the greater one. We have the Word of God. See, many people are waiting for someone to give them a word, but we have plenty of word. And in fact, you know, my grandfather always said the number one reason why people do not get their needs met is they don't know the Word. He said he's a stickler for the Word of God. That we have to know what the Word of God. And the Word of God says, you know what? There will be problems. There will be trials. There will be situations. They are going to come your way, because the devil is just being the devil. I mean, this is the same devil that was there in Genesis. And the devil is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's going to try to cause issues. But praise God, even though the devil is going to try to cause issues, that we still serve the same God. That Jesus is still the same. This is the same Jesus that walked with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. That's the Jesus that we serve. That's who we're hanging around. You know, a lot of times people feel important if they're hanging around important people. The thing about it is you have the most important person ever in the world that hangs around you on a daily basis. And so you should feel important. You should feel like, you know what, the greater one's on the inside of me. So if the greater one's on the inside of me, it doesn't matter that I face a disappointment every once in a while, because I know ultimately that I win. Because I know ultimately he wins, because he's already won. The Bible is clear about, you know, about victorious scriptures. Thanks be to God for he's been giving us the victory, that we are greater. Everything, you know, the greater one lives on the inside. You know, and we can have joy because we know the outcome. I mean, think about this. You know, in a couple of weeks, we're going to have a Super Bowl Sunday. We get to, unfortunately, see the New England Patriots again. This time they get to face the Los Angeles Rams. Hopefully they win. Not that I'm not a New England. I mean, you know, I really used to like New England, but I'm just tired of them winning all the time. So, you know. You know, I mean, even though they do have a good quarterback and a good coach. But you know what? Ultimately, if we knew how the game was going to come out, nobody would watch it. The only reason we're going to watch it is because we don't know the Rams might actually win. You know, so you never know. But when it comes to this, when it comes to life, we need to know when you have the greater one on the inside and you learn to tap into him, you win. You don't have to watch the game. You win. And you can be joyful in the middle of your trouble because you know that you win. Now, it's not going to feel joyful, but you have to count it like it's joyful. You know, or here it says you have an opportunity for great joy, not a little bit of joy. You know, sometimes you see these people for whatever reason that they tend to laugh at inappropriate certain times. Well, that should be you. When everything is going crummy, when it feels like, man, I'm ready for 2019 to get done. I mean, everything's been really crummy. To start laughing. People say, well, why are you laughing, man? Everything's going bad in your life. Why are you laughing? Well, because I know the greater one. Because I know that my God hasn't taken me this far to let me down. I know I'm going to make it. I know he's in control. I know I don't really have to worry. I can put my trust in him. You know, I can learn to lean not to my own understanding, but I can learn that God is in control. And I can have joy when nobody else can because I know my God. See, I know that my God is able. I know my God is willing. I know my God loves me. I know I'm his favorite. So I know I'm coming out on the other side. So I can have joy in the middle of a test. Now, you know, last time I talked about this scripture, we talked about, you know, it's only a test, you know, just like we have a test in the emergency broadcast system, and they say it's only a test. And if it was an actual emergency, they would tell you what to do. But now here's the thing about it is, sometimes whenever you're going through tests and trials, you don't know it's only a test. You feel like it's the real thing because the devil's a liar. He'll try to tell you it's not going to work. It's all over. Yeah, but you know, it's never over till it's over. And we know the outcome. We know the end. And the end says we win. And there might be times, you know, where you have an opportunity to either have joy or don't have joy. But that's your choice. Do you realize that's your choice? If you know, sometimes you feel silly worrying about something you didn't have to worry about. I guarantee you there's been times where maybe you had a test or you had a job interview or you had something and you were all worried about something. And when it got to that point in time, it wasn't really that big a deal. But you probably lost a night of sleep. Maybe you didn't eat, you know, or which might be good for some of us, you know, or whatever. But then when it all came, it wasn't that big of a deal. Well, that's what we need to think about whenever we go through a trial or something that's going wrong. It's not going to be that big of a deal. It might seem like a big deal, but it's not. You know, and the reason it seems like a big deal is because there's a lot of fake news going around. I mean, you know, everything that President Trump does is a big deal. I mean, it's just because of the way the news media makes it. But you see, the devil was the originator of fake news. He was the originator of saying that everything that you do, you know, you're not going to make it. You're not, you know, this is bad. This is not good. But the devil's a liar. So is fake news. All right? You know. Yeah, we can't let a liar win. And the devil's a liar. And you're going to make it. You're going to get through. You're going to make it. But you know what? It's a whole lot more fun to live life joyful than it is to live life worried. You realize you can make it either way. But that's why we have that one scripture, casting our cares upon the Lord, for he careth for us. I mean, you know what? Why worry about it? You know, my daddy has it under control. He's going to make sure that I get through this. You know, quit trying to be like the disciples with Jesus in the boat. You know, they all got worried and you know, about the waves and the storm, and Jesus was in their boat. There's no way that boat's going down with Jesus in it. Well, do you realize that Jesus is on the inside of you? The Spirit of Living God is on the inside of you. Know you not that the Spirit that he dwells on the inside of you? Now, I know we have the scripture and it says, well, quicken our mortal body, but it does more than that. You need to understand what you have on the inside. You know, and I get it. Sometimes, you know, the devil tries to tell us this, tries to tell us that. Sometimes it seems pretty upsetting. But you know what? If we'll learn to trust in God, we're going to make it. Now, I'm going to go out and read. It says, verse number 3 says this, "For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing." Now, here's what happens. Sometimes when the devil attacks us, you know, our fight is longer than we want it to be. You know, but just because it doesn't happen tomorrow doesn't mean you don't win. And just because things aren't happening on your own timing doesn't mean you don't win. You know, there's times that it doesn't seem like it's happening because it seems like things aren't changing. But the Bible tells us that we're not to be moved by what we see or what we feel, but we need to be moved only by what we know. All right? And so, yes, and sometimes that we have to, you know, endure things for a season. But you know what? The season will end. And when the season ends, you'll be on top. Do you realize, you know, in the sports world, we have different seasons. You know, but do you realize that baseball season lasts longer than football season? You know, maybe you have to do it for a baseball season. Maybe it's a football season. You know, and maybe it's hunting season or whatever it is. Doesn't matter how long the season is. It's only a short time. And if you learn to endure it for a season, once you learn, you know, how this works, the next time it happens, it will be no big deal. I mean, that's what this is saying. This saying, you know, it says, so let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing, because you'll know what to do every time the devil tries to attack you. Just don't let it bother you. Man, I passed up many opportunities to let the devil bother me. You know, who cares? It doesn't matter. I mean, it's just the devil being the devil. And he's just doing what he's always done. It's no different. But praise God, we have God being God. Now, I love the next verse. It says this, "If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you, and he will not rebuke you for asking." Now, it's, you know, a lot of times when we're facing a situation, we need some wisdom on what to do. It doesn't matter how long you've been in school or how long you've gone to school or how many degrees you might have. You know, you don't know everything about everything. And that's the problem. A lot of people try to be a know-it-all. They just try to figure it out on their own self. But you know what? When we don't know what to do, all we have to do is ask. Say, God, I need wisdom in this area. And the Bible says he will give it to us, and not just give it to us, he will give it to us liberally, more than we can ask or think. Do you realize that in all reality, anything we ask from God, he will give it to us liberally? Not just wisdom. But what James is saying here, not only can you ask for healing or finances, you can also ask for wisdom. You know, and there's many times in life that we need wisdom. And, you know, I know myself, you know, I don't know why I did this, Maybe because, I know, I think differently than most people. So, I mean, so my mom, whenever we were growing up, and I'm sure she's told you many times that we as a family would read the Bible through on a daily basis. We would read the Bible, you know, every morning and, you know, for many, many, many years. And I remember when I was like, I don't know, around 12 years old, and we're talking about Solomon. You know, Solomon was the wisest person in the world. He was also very rich. And also I started thinking about this. You know what? If you have wisdom, money always can come. So at a young age, at 12 years old, I started praying for wisdom beyond my years. Every day. I made that my nightly confession. Every night before I went to bed, I always prayed for wisdom. You know, but and that's actually scriptural, because the Bible says, if you lack wisdom, let him ask. You know, and it's just interesting. It's just something that I've always done. I've always asked God for wisdom. You know, but what I thought was more interesting is how many people don't ask God for wisdom. I mean, you know, there are things in life you don't know what to do. But you know what? God knows what to do for anything in life. Do you realize he has he's all-knowing and all-seeing? He has all the wisdom in the world. And all we got to do is ask, according to James. You know, now some of you, maybe you're feeling stupid for not asking. You know, and sometimes we don't ask because, well, maybe I should know this. Or maybe it's just a small thing. I know my mom, you know, especially around Christmas time, it's really crowded. She needs to go to the mall because somebody asked for some present that they only got the mall. They can't get it online or whatever. My mom will start confessing a close parking place. Now, you think that's kind of a small thing, but she always gets it. Now, the Bible says you have not because you ask not. Ask what you will and it shall be done. But how many times do we not ever ask? How many times does trouble and tribulations and things come our way where and we're not counting it all joy, but we don't even ask for even help? I mean, why wouldn't you ask for help? And sometimes you don't ask because you think, well, God knows I need help. You know, yes, he knows, but he's waiting for you to ask. You realize if you don't ask for help, he's not going to help you? Well, some people don't. But it's the same premise. You know, you realize that you cannot get saved unless you ask to be saved? Do you know why? It's because Adam and Eve ate from the tree. And now we are free moral agents. If we need help, we have to ask. And we have not because we ask not. All we got to do is ask. It's just that simple. And there's no dumb question. There's nothing that's too dumb to ask. You know, God says, you know, whatever you need, just ask. I mean, even if you should know this, you know, just ask. Or sometimes you realize that we forget sometimes. Seems like the older you get, the more forgetful you get. Now, don't confess that. See, some people confess it, and that's why they get more forgetful, because they're always confessing that the older they get, the more forgetful they get. But, you know, there are some times that we go through life and we have a situation and, you know, and we triumph over that situation and it was awesome and thank God for it. And then 5 or 10 years down the road, we face a similar situation and we forget what we did last time in that situation. But even if you forgot, all you got to do is ask God to help you. Now, my grandfather always said once he got born again, and see, before he was born again, he said he barely got by in school. I mean, you know, he would just, you know, make all C's. He would just make passing grades. But once he got saved, he said he made all A's. And he said the reason was is that he would study for a test, and then after he studied, he'd ask the Lord to bring those answers back to his remembrance whenever he was taking the test. And that was a tip that he gave me when I was a kid is, you know, you have to study, that's right, but then ask God to bring those things back to remembrance, and it works all the time. I mean, God will bring things back to remembrance. In fact, I don't know how many times, you know, even in my own life or even in times when I've been talking with people or counseling with folks, and the Lord brings a scripture that I hadn't thought of at all, you know, brings it to me, and I'm able to to help somebody with that scripture. But I knew the scripture. I just haven't, you know, I didn't even think about it. But, you know, God knows everything. Amen. Amen. Is everybody up there? You know, sometimes it's kind of hard. I can't hear you guys. And so it's, you guys might be playing, they're playing video games or something like that. I don't know. Amen. You know, you heard this term, preach to the choir. Sometimes, I mean, that's easy to preach to the choir, but it's really hard to preach to nobody. And so, preaching to the carpet, it seems sometimes. You know, amen. But whatever we need, all we got to do is ask. If you need wisdom, just ask. It's just that simple. But then it goes on to say, verse number 6, it says, but when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. It says, so whenever you ask, you need to put your faith in God. All right? And, you know, after you ask, you know, we just trust that he's going to do it. You know, it's on your money. Remember, it says right here, in God we trust. Right here. That's what the Bible says right here. It says, be sure to put your faith in God alone. So, you know, when you ask, you know, put your faith that God will do it. Now, it says, don't be divided, don't waver. You know, such as, you know, a lot of people are on what I call spiritual teeter-totters. One day they're up, one day they're down. One day they're up, one day they're down. One day they're up, one day they're down. Or maybe they're spiritually bipolar, I don't know. Or maybe they're both. The point is when you put your trust in God, that settles it. That's when you come to the point of having done all to stand, we stand. And we keep standing. Because you realize if God can't take care of your situation, nobody else can. Nobody else can. Our trust is wholly in God. In God we trust. We just have trust in him. And know it will work out. Just put your trust in him. And that's why you can have joy. Because, you know, I know some people are actually, they're claiming on scripture, well, joy cometh in the morning. No, joy cometh right now. You don't have to wait till the morning. Because, you know, the greater one lives on the inside of you. The Prince of Peace. I mean, you know, we have joy. We have the opportunity to have joy at all times. Amen. It goes on to say, talking about the person with divided loyalty, person up, went up and down. It says, such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything that they do. So, you know what? It says that you should not expect to receive from God if you don't fully put your trust in God. So, if you're being up and down, that's why it's not working for you. Decide to get up and stay up. Now, the reason you get down is because you're listening to what the devil's trying to say. Remember, he only delivers fake news. So why do you want to even listen? You know, there are so many times when, you know, like I said, maybe I'm a little weird. Maybe I'm a lot weird. I don't know. But I talk to the devil a lot. Because, now see, what happens is my thought life, the devil will try to attack it and he'll try to say something like, it's not going to work. And as soon as I hear that, I'll say, Mr. Devil, you're a liar. Because I know what the Bible says. And you realize the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and rulers from on high. We're not wrestling against people. It's the devil and the people he controls. But you know, I found out it's a whole lot better to have joy than not. And really, it's up to you whether you have joy or you don't have joy. It's not up to God. It's not up to anything. I mean, God has given you every opportunity to have joy. And he wants you to have joy. Now, you know, like I said, that scripture in Nehemiah says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, here's the thing, is that when the Lord looks at the situation that you're going through, you know, it's no big deal. When you look at it, it seems like a big deal. So that's whenever you have to put your mind under. That's whenever you have to renew your mind and start looking at things like God looks at things. That's the joy of the Lord, or the joy in the Lord. You know, you have to understand that God has things under control. So at any point in time, if situations start to come, you know, whether it's this year, this week, next hour, or whatever, understand it's only temporal. It's only a small thing. And you know what? Don't listen to the devil. Choose to be happy. Choose to be joyful. Understand that you know that the greater one is on the inside of you and that you win. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for each and every person that's here tonight and each and every person that's watching us online. Father God, we thank you that you'll help us to understand that each and every time that the devil tries to attack us, help us understand that we can have joy in the middle of our trials, in the middle of our circumstances. Help us understand that, you know what, that we will make it. We will get through. And you know, there's not a problem. We have the answer on the inside. And Father, we just thank you that you'll help us all to be able to withstand these attacks of the devil. We help us all to be able to put our trust in God and Christ alone, Father. Father, we just thank you for everything that you're doing in our lives, and we thank you for great things happening. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, praise God. I just want to let you know it's been a very weird service, at least for me. You know, I know it's probably kind of cool for some of you guys to be able to sit in the balcony. It's been a while for you sit in the balcony, but it's really extremely awkward. And so I can't wait for my dad to have to do this on Sunday morning. Feel how awkward it really is, you know. But praise God. If you're a first-time visitor, we're glad to have you. Hopefully in a couple of weeks, we'll be able to sit down here. But if you're a first-time visitor, we have the connection team there. They're going to take you. They're going to give you some information about the church, and we're glad to have you this week. And if you live here, we would invite you to make this your home. Home church. If you don't live in this area, we invite you to make this your home away from home every time you're in this area to be here. Now, normally we have the way we do things on Wednesday night. If you need prayer for anything, we have men and women, they come down here. But since you guys are up there, if you need prayer for anything, if you go out those doors right up there, right, there's a gentleman holding up his hand. You go out those doors, and we have some men and women in one of our classrooms there to pray for you guys. If you need prayer for salvation, for healing, for anything, they'll be there to pray for you. Amen.